Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care.
If you desire to speak to the host, please press 1 at any time, and the host will be notified that there is a caller in queue. Otherwise, please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
But nobody did anything wrong. Somehow he just magically became abused on his own. And that's just, you know, that was where I'd had enough. And where the school principal verbally assaulted me in a school board meeting that we were there to talk about abuse in the school system, and didn't mention a word pro or con about what goes on in her school where this happened. So I don't want to get too far off on a tangent here. It's a vaccine rights show, but there are problems and growing problems. You know, 40, 50 years ago, the discipline problems in public schools involved things like spit wads and things of by today's standards that are pretty benign, and the problems in today's schools are much more serious, not only on the behavior of students, but on the behaviors of teachers and other school administrators as well. There's research that shows that something like 95% of the discipline in schools comes from 5% of the teachers. You think maybe there might be a small percentage of teachers who are overly aggressive for whatever reason or combination of reasons. But anyway, homeschooling rights go to sort of a fundamental core issue about a parent's right to direct the upbringing of their children, and the requirements vary pretty widely from state to state. Some states have pretty strict requirements, and they monitor homeschooled children's progress closely. Other states, not nearly so much so. So you just have to look at it state by state in terms of how you do it and what you do. But there's tremendous amount of diversity and flexibility in terms of what the curriculum is when you homeschool your own child, and that's the part of it that I love. But here's an article bringing it back to vaccines. Homeschool Legal Defense Association, a wonderful organization for people who do homeschool, wonderful organization to be a member of, because they keep you abreast of what goes on in the homeschooling legal world around the country, but also are there to help if you have homeschool legal issues yourself. So it's really, again, a great organization to be connected to. The article here, HPV immunization without consent. And if I understand this correctly, it looks like this was in Washington State, I guess. So the HPV virus, there certainly is a lot of tension, as anybody who's a regular listener of this show knows, between those who believe that vaccines should be routinely given and those who disagree. And the HPV vaccine is not mandatory for children in Washington State, and I don't think it's mandatory. I think the majority of states at this point do not mandate it. But there certainly has been growing pressure to add it to the list, and it certainly has become strongly recommended everywhere, and it certainly has ruined a lot of children's, young women and young men's and families' lives, because of the death and disability caused by the vaccine, despite the lack of any real information about whether or not it prevents cervical cancer. In fact, while, and maybe we'll get to this a little later in the show, I'll come back to this, but a recent article pointing to research that shows that while cancer rates overall have gone down for men and women over the last 10 years, the HPV cancers have actually increased over the last 10 years, despite pretty widespread uptake of this vaccine. So that raises a serious red flag about whether there's any benefit from this vaccine other than the disgusting profits which are earned on the backs of families suffering Gardasil injuries and deaths, in addition to those who maybe have no obvious or apparent ill effects from the vaccine but no benefit. So anyway, it's in this article, it's saying not mandatory in Washington State, but parents still find themselves caught up in the controversy about making, you know, medical decisions about the vaccine. So a Homeschool Legal Defense Association member in Washington took two children to get their immunizations updated, and the nurse tells them that the boys should be giving the HPV vaccine since they're over the age of 11. Mother was kind of surprised. She thought the HPV vaccine was for girls and had not discussed it with her sons. The nurse, of course, dutifully doing her job, assures mom that the CDC recommends it for boys as well as girls. And the mother and her husband had already discussed their concerns about the HPV vaccine, which they and she declined it. And she filled out a decline form. Now, when somebody just gives you a verbal piece of information, usually people are pretty clear when they say they do or don't want a vaccine, but I can imagine someone hesitating and there being some confusion. I'm trying to give benefit of the doubt here. I'm really stretching to do that. But let's just say, you know, yeah, you can imagine people being confused in a verbal conversation, but it's really hard to confuse a written form. And she fills out a form, but one of the boys had already been taken back to an examination room and didn't overhear the conversation. And the second son was taken to another room, and when they both came back, they informed their mother that they had both been given two shots. The nurse who administered the shots admitted she had given them both the HPV vaccine. And when the mother says, "I specifically declined that vaccine, this was administered against my wishes," and the nurse shrugs it off and says, "Oh, well, I've just done a procedure against your wishes to your two boys that could injure or kill them, but oh well." Of course, the people who work in these offices are disturbingly unaware of the truth and the underlying politics that drives the information they have, which is always incomplete and in many aspects often just flat out wrong, erroneous. Well, mom wasn't satisfied with "oh well" from the nurse, so she talks to the doctor, explains the situation. The administration, according to the writer in this article, although it's likely the administration of this vaccine violated the parents' and the children's rights, the family has decided not to pursue litigation. But I tell you, in that situation, you need to file a complaint with the state medical board and the state nursing board. There needs to be feedback to these people that this is not just an "oh well" situation. Vaccines come with a risk of permanent disability and death. It's not an "oh well, shrug it off" situation. Parents have a fundamental 14th Amendment due process constitutional right and obligation, for that matter, to parent their children, and that includes making medical decisions for their children. And nobody else is allowed to make that decision unless there is a formal legal transfer of authority parents could probably sign an official power of attorney giving someone else authority over their children in certain situations. Judges, of course, can enter orders granting custody or authority to one parent or another, or in some instances, relatives or the state or whatever. But you've got to have a legal proceeding for that kind of thing. And, of course, in emergencies, child's safety or life is at imminent risk of harm. You know, it's right now, it's a present risk, serious risk. Then, of course, a doctor or others can and should intervene to protect a child. But routine immunizations, no imminent risk there. Hypothetical future exposure. That's a point that really bears underscoring. The risk with vaccines, when you're dealing with routine immunizations, in other words, not a vaccine that was an emergency vaccine rushed through production to address a present emergency, as was falsely claimed during the so-called swine flu pandemic. There was a swine flu virus. It did circulate around the world. It was not of any significant virulence that it warranted being called a pandemic or an epidemic. Turned out to be far less virulent than the seasonal flu, and nobody claims a epidemic or pandemic of seasonal flu, or at least nobody has. I'm sure they'll change definitions and do that pretty soon, year to year, just so people will be scared into getting vaccines. But didn't meet any real emergency need medically or scientifically. It was all falsely portrayed to create a false emergency. But when there's an emergency, and when an emergency is declared, officially declared, regardless of whether it actually exists, when it's officially declared, the legal landscape changes. When an emergency vaccine is produced and required, mandated, officially mandated, there you, at least legally, have an imminent risk, and you got a different situation. Maybe a child could be given a vaccine under those conditions without the parent's knowledge. Ultimately, you have to look at those situations on a case-by-case basis. But the vast, vast majority of vaccines are routine immunizations, not given to address an immediate present need, but they're actually addressing a hypothetical future need. Hypothetical. You may or may not ever be exposed to the disease somebody wants to vaccinate you against. And if you are exposed, you may or may not get sick. I don't remember the exact figures, but something like, if I recall correctly, something like 90% of HPV infections resolve on their own. And, well, we'll come back in another time when I have more of those facts in front of me. But in Washington, and then the article says, parents are free to decide whether they want their children to receive the HPV vaccine. They say, if you have additional questions about this issue, please talk to your doctor. But boy, no offense, I have a great admiration for the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, but they missed the boat on their last line in this article. Yeah, talk to your doctor if you want a brainwashed, pharmaceutical industry brainwashed perspective on whether or not you should get the vaccine. But even if you've done all your own research with a doctor or independently or however you want to do that concerning whether or not to get any particular vaccine, HPV or otherwise, there's a huge other area that they missed here, which is sort of ironic because this is a legal defense organization. They're not saying talk to an attorney who can tell you your rights. Doctors do not know your legal rights. They don't study law. They don't research it. They don't understand this. They're not taught this in med school. At least I've never heard anyone say that they're taught this in med school. And I've talked with a lot of doctors about a lot of vaccine legal issues. And there are potentially multiple levels if it's a mandatory vaccine and you're exercising an exemption, then you've got a whole different, you know, list of potential legal issues there, depending on what kind of exemption, what are the requirements, do you qualify or not. I've never heard of a law requiring somebody to declare an exemption with their child's pediatrician. You know, you don't have to legally have to write up something or sign something for your doctor, but as a practical matter, it might be a real good idea to do that sometimes if you have an exemption. If you have religious objections, you know, put something in writing. We have religious objections to vaccines. Maybe you don't even need to go into any details about it unless you already have to do that for the state exemption or something. But doctors often love to have something in their file because that's proof that they were not negligent in some way for not administering vaccines. It sort of lets them off the hook. Their fear of liability that you're a horrible, misguided parent, you're not vaccinating your kids, and your kids are going to get sick and get everybody else sick, because when you don't get vaccinated, it makes everybody else's vaccines not work. Curious how it works, but that's what the medical doctors and medical community, mainstream medical community, would have us believe, that if your child doesn't get a vaccine, then everybody else is at risk. Because somehow your child being unvaccinated makes everybody else's vaccines magically not work. So we have to get everybody vaccinated or it just doesn't work. I mean, what's behind that? And it's just completely misrepresented. But what's behind that is the herd immunity theory idea, where if you get most people, if most people in a community are immune, then the virus or germ can't circulate. Under the theory that it circulates best when it's passed from one sick person to another sick person. But, you know, if you go for weeks and months and years in a community with no cases of measles, and then somebody comes down with the measles, and if it's somebody local who hasn't been, say, traveling to a foreign country or whatever, I mean, sometimes diseases will travel across borders by people who travel across borders. But we have outbreaks occurring from time to time in places where you're not spreading it around because somebody went to a third world country and picked up a disease and brought it home with them. You know, so does it just sort of, it doesn't make sense. You know, if herd immunity, if most people are immune, is going to keep diseases from spreading around, then how does somebody get it who hasn't been traveling? So, and herd immunity has been disproved over and over again. There are many, many peer-reviewed published medical studies showing highly and even fully vaccinated populations having outbreaks from the very diseases they are vaccinated against, and many documented instances, documented outside of the medical literature, where the data has been available to show that a high percentage of people are vaccinated and disease happens anyway. So one important distinction, I think, on the herd immunity theory that has been made is that people have talked about how maybe this theory of herd immunity does apply to the wild virus, but maybe doesn't apply to vaccines. And when you vaccinate somebody, the antibodies that are generated are not the same as the antibodies that you get from the wild disease. That makes sense because the germ triggering the antibodies is not the same germ. They'll take a virus, they'll attenuate it, do things to it to presumably keep it from having being as virulent as the wild virus. They don't want to give people a vaccine and have them get sick from the vaccine, although that does happen sometimes. Meaning, when, in this instance, I mean getting the disease they're vaccinated against from the vaccine, because in some instances the vaccine virus will somehow revert back to the more virulent wild form or something close to that, and then the person ends up getting sick anyway. I mean, many instances have been documented where parents have developed polio after their children got a polio vaccine. So that's a disturbing reality that has occurred. But maybe it applies to the wild virus and not the vaccinated virus. But in any event, it's a different virus, and it's administered with in a vaccine with a long list of toxic ingredients that supposedly are in such minute quantities that they're not harmful, but the data shows otherwise. Vaccine information, the vaccine injury compensation program that pays out roughly $100 million a year on average for the last about 25 years to victims and families of vaccine injured and people injured and killed by vaccines. So obviously, those ingredients are not safe. In fact, legally, according to the Injury Compensation Act and a U.S. Supreme Court case, vaccines are unavoidably unsafe. Unavoidably unsafe. Unavoidably unsafe. That is such a disturbing phrase to apply to something that everybody's required to get over and over and over again. I say everybody, most adults are not required to get vaccines, but this is changing. And we can look for a very rapid change here if we do not organize effectively and resist that, which means become legislatively active, which anybody can do fairly easily, if nothing else, by going to the National Vaccine Information Center's advocacy portal, nvicadvocacy.org, NV as in Victor, IC, advocacy.org, O-R-G. Go check that site out. They monitor vaccine legislation around the country, vaccine bills. And there are bills pending seeking to require not only more vaccines for children, but vaccines for new categories of adults who have never been previously required by law to get vaccines. Now, this has been sweeping the country in very recent years, healthcare workers in hospitals primarily, any kind of college student doing clinical work like dental assistants and nursing students and pre-med students and EMT, and I've even had clients in athletic training programs where they have to do some kind of clinical work and the state exemption laws don't apply to the vaccines required by the clinical sites. So more and more college students being required to get vaccines and they're being told there's no exemption, no way out. That's not true. But the schools and the exemption and the clinical sites are not aware of the federal law that does apply in that situation. So if you or anyone you know are in that situation, go to vaccinerights.com and look me up and contact me. I can help people in that situation. Well, let me see if I can give a quick wrap-up here. The half hour is rolling by. We're going to have to take a break in just a minute, and we'll be back with some news from around the country and around the world, a lot of interesting things that's always going on in the vaccine arena. But you're listening to Vaccines and Your Rights. And this is Vaccine Rights Attorney Alan Phillips. And I am trying to...
Yay!
I have a technical problem here, Debbie. I can't seem to...
Hi!
Hey, I can't
seem
to pull
okay.
up the list of our... Here we go.
Okay, well, you... Well,
just had to
all
refresh.
Righty.
Got it. Debbie, let me go to break here, and thanks for jumping in. It's like you were coming in to rescue me there as I got stuck here. It was a technical web issue, but I refreshed the page, and that cleared it up. So we'll go to break, and then we'll come back and...
Let's encourage people. This is a call-in show. You dial 347-324-3704 on your telephone, or you can click the Skype button that is on either, I guess that is really the way to get in. I don't know if there's a Skype button on Freedomizer Radio to call in, and we're also simulcasting, so you can listen only on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Okay? And we're here for you to voice your opinions and try to answer any questions. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you, Debbie. And if folks didn't catch that number, it's at the probably top of the page at freedomizerradio.com. Freedomizer, I-Z-E-R, radio.com. Two R's in there from Freedomizer and Radio. Freedomizerradio.com. And look that number up and call us up if you have questions or comments about your rights with vaccines or vaccine current events, news, questions, comments, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you, Debbie, so much for bringing that up. I keep forgetting to say that, and we'd love to have people call in and join the conversation. So we'll go to break here, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. And Embellus and Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We never let them know that their world government has been identified, and they thought they just cloned the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state, but instead it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
Shade the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at ShadeTheMotionPicture.com.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
Well, we're back. Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. with my wonderful co-host, Debbie Brook, founder of Homeopathy World Community, and I'm vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips. And I just want to let people know, we have a two-hour segment every Thursday afternoon right now, beginning at 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Central, 11 a.m. Mountain, and 10 a.m. Pacific times, U.S. times. And the last half hour of that show is Debbie Brook talking usually about homeopathy, but Debbie's taking on a couple of powerful issues today that's not really homeopathy. She's going to be talking about the Trans-Pacific Partnership and fracking. And these are two really, really big issues. I really encourage you to stick around and catch that last half hour. I always do. Debbie has amazing information and insight about homeopathy, but today taking on some political topics. And Debbie, that's fantastic. Looking forward to hearing that later on. But we'll dive into
I think it trumps everything else today. That's how I feel about it.
I know something a little bit about both of those issues, just enough to know that we should be very concerned about them. So it'll be these are huge, huge issues. You know, it's just, I guess these are classic examples of the corporate takeover of our government and therefore our individual rights and liberties and freedoms, and not just in sort of a philosophical way, but in ways that have, for many of us, direct and immediate and profound implications. You know, I just last night was watching, I don't remember if it was I remember where I was watching this, I remember if it was a YouTube video web, but somebody was turned on their faucet. I remember it was a video. Somebody turned on their faucet in their home, the water in the kitchen sink, and then held a lighter to it, and it caught on fire, you know, sort of blew up or whatever. And this is something that has happened as a result of fracking going on in the area, where the chemicals they pump into the ground to try and get out the natural gas or whatever it is they're trying to get out ends up contaminating local groundwater. And at a level where, I mean, if you can light it on fire, I don't want it coming anywhere near my home, let alone showering in it or God forbid, drinking something like that. So it's just really bizarre. And then, of course, do the companies doing this say, oh, we're sorry, and try to make amends? No, they do everything they can to deny any kind of connection and avoid any kind of responsibility, financially or otherwise. It's just, it's sick. It really is sick. We live in a very disturbing world, and yet corporate interests just keep pushing on and pushing on. So, anyway, I don't want to get into your topic for you here, Debbie, but stuff that you definitely
You've gotten way into my topic, and as of January 14th, the North Carolina fracking panel passed the chemical disclosure rule, which means that anything that I say President Obama promised in terms of transparency in our country is total deceit, is a total, I want to say, lie, because what they do is protect the corporations. Even the congressional leaders don't even know what chemicals are being inserted into our ground, leaked into our groundwater. I'll be talking about it. Basically, the fracking companies won the right to keep secret the chemical cocktails that they pump underground during shale gas drilling in North Carolina under a chemical disclosure rule approved by our North Carolina Mining and Energy Commission. Can you believe that? They're not even telling the people or anybody. They're letting the corporations, it's like, you know, Coke is a secret recipe. Well, Coke, okay, yeah, that might have ingredients that could harm people. We don't know. And now we're talking about destroying the total environment and the health of all the individuals in the state. So they should not be allowed to keep it secret. Absolutely not, but they've made a ruling. They've already passed it. That they can. Okay.
It's bizarre. Yeah. I apologize. I didn't really mean to get into your topic. I meant only to inspire interest. But that is just bizarre. And I certainly don't mind, you know, taking time in this part of the show to talk about that, because it's related. There is a central theme that pervades many different controversial topics, and that is corporate takeover of America and the rest of the world. And that's what's going on, I believe, but I suspect you know, understand in much more detail than me with the Trans-Pacific Partnership and fracking both. And it is just so disillusioning and discouraging to hear you report that piece of information, Debbie. I don't mean to be I can't resist temptation. I don't mean to make you out to be Debbie Downer, but
sorry. It goes across the board. It goes across the board. You know, whether it's you're getting injected by vaccine, does anybody know what's in it? Have you gotten a full disclosure before you approved it to have it injected into your child? I would say 99% of the time, no. You're just saying it's time for your vaccine. Okay, roll up your sleeve or pull down your pants and get it done. The doctor is not telling you any of the risks or any of the ingredients. Right?
No, and they probably don't even know the ingredients or the risks. Because
exactly.
It's not they're not required to do that, you know, as a condition of employment, so they're not going to do it. And they can do a lot of other things. There's so many other things they are required to do, and they're going to make tons of money whether they know the truth or not, so why should they, you know, worry about the truth? In fact, you know, anything else is...
They don't have the time to tell you. You know, you've got 10, 15 minutes with the doctor, you're in and out, and they already have their plate full of headaches to deal with, and they're not going to take the time.
But not only just the time, if they took the time, they'd be working against their own self-interest, or there certainly is a risk or fear or concern about that. You know, in the political arena as it exists today, if you are a doctor and you bother to challenge anything having to do with the status quo, but vaccines would be a classic example, you risk being ostracized, have your career damaged in some way, possibly even losing your job. You'll be shunned. You know, you're not allowed to think for yourself and look for the truth. You have to play by the club rules or you get kicked out of the club. And doctors go through an enormous amount of effort, time, and expense to get into that club, and so they're not about to do anything that's going to get them kicked out or have their membership questioned or challenged. But I don't believe for a second that most doctors, if they knew the truth, would not be, you know, would just say, I don't care, it's not in my financial interest. Now, financial interests are what drive a lot of what goes on in America and the world today, for sure. But I think it's the financial interests that keep them from looking at the truth, not that if they actually knew the truth, they would say, I don't care, people are being hurt as long as I'm making a good living. I don't think
but
most doctors would really think that way.
But
well,
they
I think
are.
I don't
just
think.
Just take a look at West Virginia, and the spill of chemicals that have devastated that state of our union, of our country, of our nation, and they're telling the people that it's safe to drink the water. It is not safe to drink the water. Not only is it mucky, brown, and smelly. Within the period of time since the spill, there's no way that it could be cleaned. Running your tap for 5 minutes or 20 minutes is not going to clean it. Things, chemicals seep into the pipes and everything else in the groundwater. There's no way. So, I mean, these are out-and-out rot lies. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I agree with you absolutely in that instance. But I think when I say doctors, I say if doctors knew the real information, I think most of them would be horrified by it or very concerned about it. My point is that I think for psychological reasons, they're not able to see or look at the information. Now, you gave a reason of time, which is a huge one as well. They don't have time to go out and research this. But psychologically, they are motivated to avoid researching it because it would be a very uncomfortable thing to discover. And so I think, in other words, my point is, I think within the set of information that they have, that most of them are acting with a high degree of integrity. I don't think there's a conspiracy among the community of medical doctors generally. I think absolutely there's a conspiracy among a relatively small number of decision makers in industry and state and federal health agencies, for example, with the issue of vaccines, and other agencies with regard to other issues. But I don't think that most people who, you know, do their 9-to-5 at a pharmaceutical company, or the nurse who tells you get your vaccines, you know, when you come in to the doctor or bring your child in to the doctor, is somebody who genuinely and truly knows and understands deeply the vaccine issue and just says, I don't care that this may hurt or kill you. I just don't want to lose my job. Now, I'm going to contradict myself a little bit.
I think that the only way that a physician would rethink and reevaluate their belief system, which they have been indoctrinated since the word go when they started medical school or when they were younger and told that take your shots, you know, like a good kid, or what did we have, the polio sugar tube, you know, you do this because you have been indoctrinated and invested in this belief system. Now, the only way it could change would be if it came on an authority from the medical community themselves, not from an outlier. It would have to come from, okay, you know, we're reevaluating, we're seeing the devastation over a period of 30, 40 years of what has actually happened, and we're changing our tune. That's the only way that doctors are going to say, uh-oh, we need to stop and change what we're doing. You know, it's not going to be from some alternative kook that's out there telling you.
Well, and this is my point, that they are relying on a central authority or small number of central authoritative figures and agencies and what have you, and they can't go outside of that because that would risk their club membership. So they don't go outside of that, and so they have incomplete or erroneous information. So I don't think they're pushing vaccines knowing that they're doing the harm that they are actually doing. Now, some doctors see it in their practice. They put the pieces together, and they figure it out. But and probably a large percentage of those keep quiet about it because they realize to do otherwise would put their careers at risk. But at some point, and this is what's going on throughout the healthcare industry right now, with hospitals in particular requiring all their employees, nurses and otherwise, to get flu shots or lose their jobs. And the vast majority of healthcare workers who don't want the vaccine will get it anyway, because they feel like if they ask for an exemption, they'll be seen as a troublemaker. They're afraid they'll be ultimately lose their job or be retaliated against in some way that'll make their job very difficult or uncomfortable. And I can't judge any individual's decision. Everybody has to decide for themselves. But as a society, it's our willingness to be controlled, our fear of what will happen if we put ourselves in a position where everything isn't predictable. You know, it's an aspect of our culture that we try to make life as predictable as possible. There are entire industries built up around giving us predictability. It's called the insurance industry. And
mm-hmm. and my
we are
control.
Very and yet yeah and let life is inherently unpredictable. You know, that's just the nature of reality, is that ultimately it's unpredictable. We can control and predict to one degree or another in different situations and different times, but there's always the unpredictable happens every day. So it's people's fear of the unpredictable. They're not willing to suddenly be without a job and trust that one way or another they will survive and their families will survive. And yes, it could mean radical change for a lot of people. But the fear of that causes a lot of people to do things they don't want to do, and things many times they feel very strongly against, and in this instance get vaccines they don't want. But the result of that collectively is that most of them are getting vaccines, and a large percent, perhaps even a majority, don't want it. But then that furthers the agenda. So, and the agenda is open-ended, because there are literally hundreds of vaccines in the pipeline. It's not like, oh, if we just get the flu vaccine, this will all go away. No, that's just a door opener. The healthcare industry is a doorway to the rest of the U.S. population, because they're the example. Look,
hell.
All your. Yeah, yeah. I'll have to write that song. I like that. Doorway to
just,
hell.
A song has just popped into my mind. A song title.
Yes. Let's get together after the show and write that one.
I think it's already there. Okay.
It does seem like the sort of thing that somebody else would have already thought of, doesn't it? Well, anyway, the point is that...
I want to thank you on your website, pandemicresponseproject.com, that you have at the very top in red, see Vaccine Nation full-length video by Gary Null. That's really important for everybody to see. I told months ago, I made it a campaign issue for myself, and I have it in my email signature that everybody watched this movie. And I think it's really educational, and people don't know, and it's a good start for a lot of folks. So that's a little advice. Also, you said there's a Mississippi petition for philosophical exemption. Is there a reason you put that? Can anybody in the nation sign this petition, or is it just for people in Mississippi?
I think it would only be effective for people in Mississippi to sign that, but I wanted to have that up there. That's actually been up there for a while. By the way, it's the top of the news page, just to clarify, at pandemicresponseproject.com. Yeah, Mississippi is a real interesting Mississippi is an anomaly in the U.S. for a lot of reasons, probably, but they're an anomaly.
Yeah.
Huh?
MISSISSIPPI. It's just another tune. Okay.
Okay. Well, anyway,
we're
gonna
sing our way through the show.
Yeah. This is instructive. I'm going to wax didactic here for just a couple of minutes. You might think, on a common sense level, I certainly would, that we have one constitution for the country. I mean, every state has their own state constitution, but we have one U.S. constitution for the whole country, and you would think with one constitution, or you might think, and it certainly seems reasonable, that we have the same rights under that constitution everywhere in the country, because every state and territory in the country falls under the umbrella of the U.S. federal constitution. But it turns out that that's not the case. The rights we have under the Constitution are the rights that are spelled out for us in legal precedent, in court cases where the courts have interpreted the Constitution. And when a court rules on a case and when that case becomes legal precedent, and that overall, it probably happens a small percentage of the time that actual court cases become legal precedent. But when a case becomes legal precedent, which just means that the ruling in that case is a point of reference in the law, here's how this law applies to this situation. When a case becomes legal precedent, that precedent is only binding in the jurisdiction of that court. So if the Oklahoma State Supreme Court, or whatever their top court is called, that court rules in a case and generates legal precedent, that precedent is not binding in New Hampshire. Or if a federal court in California rules on something and it becomes legal precedent, that case is not binding anywhere else except California. So we have, and there are some federal courts that have a jurisdiction of a group of states. But the only precedent that's binding on the whole country is the precedent generated by the U.S. Supreme Court. So here's the point. Bring it back to vaccines. A little over 30 years ago, the highest state court in Mississippi, which is the Mississippi State Supreme Court, ruled that vaccine religious exemptions are unconstitutional. So in Mississippi, but nowhere else in the country, vaccine religious exemptions are unconstitutional. So Mississippi not only doesn't have a religious exemption, Mississippi arguably can't have a religious exemption because it's unconstitutional there. It's not unconstitutional anywhere else in the country, but it is in Mississippi. So this is just sort of a weird quirk about the way our legal system works. And I don't know how to say this without offending Mississippians, but and perhaps revealing of how thinking in Mississippi, I'll put it like this, how the legal thinking in Mississippi is sometimes different from that of the rest of the country. Because somebody was
When did they join the union?
maybe it was after that.
After when?
It sure seems to me they left the union with that case.
I guess they were late.
But this is something that happens in varying degrees, though, in courts around the country, and I think it's a really important thing to understand. You know, people will read something in the Constitution and say, oh, then that means I have a right, blah, blah, blah. And no, it doesn't mean you have a right, blah, blah, blah. If you want to know what, you know, the First Amendment refers to the free exercise of religion. I mean, that's a vague phrase. What the heck does that mean? You and I, Debbie, and our listeners, we don't get to decide what that means for any formal purpose anyway. We can have our own opinion about what we think it should mean or does mean, but that doesn't mean that anybody gets to do anything they want to in the name of religion, for example. And when you want to know where the lines are, because it sure doesn't tell you in the Constitution itself, then we have to look to the legal precedent. What have the courts said about where the boundaries are? And you might have different boundaries on the same issue in different parts of the country, depending on how the local courts have interpreted the Constitution. And that same principle would apply to courts interpreting state and federal statutes and regulations, and as well as constitutional provisions. So this goes to another – I sort of got off point here, I'm sure, but because I don't even remember how we got off on the tangent.
You're doing great. I'm moving us along. I'm changing the topic here and there, and I'm getting you to really put out some really excellent points that people need to hear, because not everybody knows this stuff, and you're always rethinking. You're always reevaluating your message and the vital things that people really need to know, and how the terrain in vaccination rights are changing. So I really appreciate that. And, you know, we've gone a long way since the past 4 years when we began talking about these issues. Do we want to move along to the next petition and talk about this issue of nurses against mandatory vaccines? Tell Congress to stop mandatory vaccines for healthcare workers. And so there's another thing, an action item that people can do. We'll have those links up both on Alan's news page, Vaccine Rights, PandemicResponseProject.com, and I will also put it on Homeopathy World Community, and I'm sure the folks on Freedomizer Radio will put it up. So this petition is from change.org, and the other one was moveon.org. So we do have means to speak out and hopefully connect with our representatives, whether they have cotton in their ears or are looking, putting a night blinders on. I don't know what they're doing, but I think more people have to speak up in order for them to get through the mass of mud or whatever that's going on in their space. So this is Stop Mandatory Flu Vaccines of Healthcare Professionals. You want to talk about that?
Sure. And just a real quick comment, Debbie, here, because this is just so I just can't wrap my mind around the idea that any sane politician would ever vote to prevent people from knowing what's in their food with GMOs, for example, or prevent people from knowing what chemicals are being pumped into the ground that can get into their groundwater. just mind-boggling and so revealing of how dysfunctional our political systems are and how nuts people who somehow manage to buy their way into positions of power as state legislators. Now, I'm sure there are some wonderful legislators, but I just cannot grasp. And I'm so ashamed to live in a state where something like that would get through, Debbie, where we're going to let companies hide the list of chemicals. I mean, where is the sanity there? It's just so boggling, mind-boggling. Nurses Against Mandatory Vaccines. Somebody put up a petition. They want to tell Congress to stop mandatory vaccines for healthcare workers. Now, there's a question here. The federal government does not have authority to mandate vaccines for state residents. That's a state law issue. Now, I didn't think the federal government had the authority to mandate health insurance either, and so I don't know, maybe the legal lines are being moved around some now, but I'm not sure that Congress can even has authority to do anything directly on that issue, to pass a law saying, you know, well, maybe they could do it. I don't know. It's an interesting question. It's something that can also be fought at the state level, though, and is being fought at the state level. Oregon already has a law that prohibits mandating flu vaccines for healthcare workers. I don't have any healthcare worker clients from Oregon, at least not about flu shots in the workplace. and Michigan.
Can I read a couple of comments in for those folks who have signed this petition?
Sure.
A comment by John Collins says, "This is a human rights issue. The science regarding the efficacy and safety of vaccines is being misused and misinterpreted by both government and private sector institutions. Human beings are not replaceable commodities. One-size-fits-all employment policies can and do infringe on human rights." Ingrid Gordon says, "Medicare reimbursement should not be dependent upon my getting a medication I may not want. My body, my choice." Patrice Bullock says, "It is unconstitutional and unethical to force the flu vaccine on any employee." Would you agree with that?
All of those comments point to indirectly at least, and that last one very directly, to underlying legal issues and questions. And this is something that I saw come up over and over again during the so-called swine flu pandemic, where people are saying, "I have a constitutional right to decide what to put in my body." No, we don't. And we should be very, very concerned about that. What we really need to do ultimately is to amend the Constitution to add medical freedom. And stated in such a way as to give to people the ultimate right to decide what to put in their bodies and their children's bodies, and just end once and for all this nonsense of vaccine mandates anywhere and everywhere. And there are all kinds of people.
If we're making laws about who we can marry or not marry, who we can live with or not live with, you would think that the whatever it is that we're putting into our body should be under our control. I also think not only is it important, the last statement about it being unconstitutional and unethical to force the flu vaccine, I thought the other person made a really good point. One size fits all is also a misnomer, or it's not correct medically. So, like, you cannot just blanket give everybody the same thing and think that's going to be a healthy way of mandating health care. So, and the medical community is acknowledging that every single day. Somebody recognizes the fact that, you know, each of us responds differently to medications, and we need to make an adjustment toward that. Okay, I know I interrupted you.
No, that's fine, Debbie. I'll go on without stopping if you don't sometimes. But, you know, this is all refuted, supposedly, or the counter argument is, well, the herd immunity theory requires everybody to get vaccinated. Your vaccine protects other people, so, you know, you do not morally and ethically and now to a large extent legally have the right to decide that. And when I say I disagree, we don't have a constitutional right to decide what goes in our body, I'm not saying that I disagree with the idea we absolutely should have a constitutional right, we should have a statutory and regulatory right, you know, any one or all of the above. But the reality is, in terms of the way the legal system actually works, is that we don't have that right. And this is why a lot of what goes on in the dissent is somewhat ineffective in actually dealing with these highly inappropriate mandates, is because we don't understand our rights. And once we understand the way the law works, or a little more about the way the law works and where the legal boundaries are, then we know what it is we have to do to fix that. So if you assume you have a constitutional right, you're not going to go out and try and change the Constitution, for example. But once you recognize that we don't have that right in the Constitution, then you can get an action item there. Well, maybe we need to change the Constitution. Now, that's an enormous project, and I'm not necessarily suggesting that anyone in particular take that on, although I would love to see that happen. But there are other ways to deal with this too, legally and in the political system. We can lobby laws. And possibly, I'm a little fuzzy on the whether or not or how Congress might be able to deal with it at the national level. You know, what's the authority that Congress does or doesn't have to address this issue? They could certainly pass a law prohibiting Medicare and Medicaid from making Medicaid and Medicare reimbursements contingent upon anything having to do with vaccines, because that's Congress, federal legislature, Congress addressing a federal agency issue. So clearly they have authority to do that. Whether or not they have authority and to what extent to pass a law saying no hospital or no employer can mandate a flu shot, I'm less clear on that. But there are states, there are people who are addressing this on the state level. I mentioned Oregon's already done it, and Wisconsin and Michigan, there are folks there working on getting legislation passed that would make it possible for healthcare workers to refuse the shot and not suffer any consequences. They can already do that on religious grounds under federal civil rights law, but it's tricky to – that's just a real tricky arena, and that's one where most people, the vast majority of people, are going to need an attorney if they're going to be successful, bottom line there. But, Debbie, you know, we've already slipped over past the hour mark here.
Okay.
Let me take us into break here, and we will be back. You're listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. with Homeopathy World Community founder Debbie Bruck, vaccine rights attorney Ellen Phillips. We've got the better part of an hour left to go here with you today, folks. A few more minutes on vaccine issues, and then Debbie's going to talk to us about Trans-Pacific Partnership and fracking today. You don't want to miss that. And so stick around. We'll be back with you in just a few minutes.
Hello, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic, great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com, and check it out and order it, Silver Leaf Tea.
U.S. trade negotiators are pushing to complete the TPP this year. They're trying to keep it under the radar. The best way to stop the TPP is to drag it into the light of day. Right now, negotiators have appointed approximately 600 corporate lobbyists to serve as cleared advisors on the TPP, while refusing to release any of their negotiating proposals for public review. The corporate media is unlikely to inform the public about the TPP. We need to do it ourselves.
Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high-fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping, so go to freedomizerradio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on freedomizerradio.com.
I'm not a lab rat.
I'm not a lab rat.
My family is not a bunch of lab rats.
I am not a lab rat.
Thanks, but no thanks.
80% of the processed food in America has been genetically modified.
That's GMOs.
That's GMOs.
You can't even tell what foods contain GMOs at the grocery store.
Because no GMO food labels are required.
That makes us the guinea pigs.
Sounds like an experiment to me.
GMOs are scary.
It's up to you.
You're an adult. You can vote.
I can't vote because I'm a kid.
Vote yes.
Vote yes.
Please vote yes. Count the cookie.
Freedomizer, you have a voice.
How will you vote when initiatives are added to the ballot in your state?
Well, we are back. Vaccines.
We're back.
And your rights in the U.S.
Okay.
I think we are back.
We are back.
Really quick. So, okay. Let's see if we can, how about we run through just a few brief news, vaccine news items here and get folks warmed up for your last half hour here.
I double dare you. I dare you to go through it quickly.
Okay.
What would you like to talk about?
Well, I'm going to mention briefly, let's see if this is actually possible. There was an article at Infowars.com recently, and the title of the article is a question, Drones to Forcibly Vaccinate the Public. And the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation funds research into vaccine delivery, and I think, I might be naive in saying this, so I think the article misunderstands what they're talking about doing with the drones. I think the drones are about delivering in the sense that UPS delivers a package. Delivering vaccines to hard-to-reach areas. And I think the article is suggesting or implying that they're talking about drones spraying vaccines from the air. But maybe I'm wrong about this, but it's an article here about how they're going to use drones to further, you know, the vaccine agenda, bottom line, and in third world countries. But there were a team of students at Harvard, MIT Health Sciences and Technology. They got the $100,000 prize from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to develop unmanned aerial vehicles for developing world countries that can be deployed by healthcare workers with their cell phones to swiftly deliver vaccines to hard-to-reach locations. So work is being done to bring drones into the vaccine world. Why not? They're using drones for everything else. So anyway, I could actually
Did they make a mistake in the announcement, or, you know, you're just saying that they're going to use them as a delivery system? Is that right?
Well, I guess it's not clear. I don't see the information as I read it anyway, and I haven't, you know, dived deep into this topic. But I'm not reading anything that suggests that the drones are going to be, just sort of spraying the air and vaccinating everyone in the area, though I have heard of something along those lines being done to wooded areas to try and deal with drawing a blank
right.
What's the
rabies? In the
yeah,
forest.
The animals with rabies. And so I wonder whether or not, you know, that kind of thing is a possibility at some point. I could imagine, I'm sorry to say, I could imagine there being a declared emergency because of some highly virulent, mutation of a not-so-virulent disease or a bioterrorism weapon or something where maybe there would seem to be a need to find a way to mass vaccinate, and maybe there would be something you could, you know, spray in the air if you know. I mean, we have a flu mist
goes
vaccine
along with
already. We have a flu mist vaccine already that you spray up your nose. Not every vaccine is a needle in your arm or leg or whatever. So it certainly is.
It's called bioterrorism.
Yeah, it's certainly conceivable that vaccines could be developed or maybe are already being developed or have been developed, for all we know,
right?
That would be delivered through the air in some sort of mass spraying kind of thing.
Really?
So it's certainly hypothetically possible, but I don't think.
And
I think here they're talking about dropping off the box. I think they're talking about dropping off the box to be administered, not using the drones to directly administer. But we'll see. You know, we'll see if we have follow-up.
And if anybody hasn't heard, they're going to, at the Sochi Olympics, they're going to be secured by 24-hour drone surveillance, internet, and phone tapping. Yay! All right, who's going to that? Okay. So you never know what's going to happen on this planet anymore. But you're being watched. Okay, what was the other item that you wanted to talk about?
Oh, just, you know, one or 20 more here. We'll see what we have time to squeeze in. I'll mention again, this was an article, and all the articles I'm talking about today are linked from the Pandemic Response Project's news page, and that's pandemicresponseproject.com. And you can also get there from the homepage of vaccinerights.com.
And if you ever want to visit homeopathyworldcommunity.com, I'll just tell you that's just it. And just surf around and see what banners are there. I'm giving a plug since you gave a plug. Okay.
Absolutely. And I'm really sorry about it. And actually, Debbie, I wasn't paying attention to the dashboard here. I see we got a couple of people looking to come in and talk. Let's see if that's all right. Let's just go, because we only got about 10 or 15 minutes here. So let's bring in callers. We have one caller, area code 702. Are you with us?
Okay. Hello, area code 702. They might be thinking that they were holding such a long time. Hello?
Yeah, that could be. All right, I'm gonna switch over to the next one then and see if there's somebody there. We have somebody holding area code 914.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Could you tell us your
first
name, please, and got a question or comment?
I'm a regular girl.
Hey, regular girl.
You know what's curious to me is that people are going to pay their taxes. That's coming up. They're going to pay for this, for the drones. It seems to me with the drone technology, I'm going to call it drone technology, you would think that what people really would want, and I think they do, regular people, they would want this technology to be used, for example, to clean up harmful radiation and to, you know, anyway, people are going to pay for this. Can you imagine that you would be giving money to anybody? Whether it's a stranger or a friend, you are giving them money. It wasn't even to help them out. You were paying them for services. And then, you know, on a consistent basis, you start, they kept asking for more money. And at some point you say, what are you spending the money on? And they say, can't tell you. It's a secret. Because
that's right.
Who would do that? Who in their right mind would do that? Nobody. And yet this is, people are going to, I have not heard one thing that's been organized yet on the Internet radio, which is the pulse. There are more advertisers coming over to social media, YouTube, and internet radio than there are going to CBS and NBC morning day shows, news. Oh, yeah, there are. Check it out.
I'm glad to hear that.
Movie. So I haven't heard anything being organized about this or stated, you know, like,
about paying any more money. I'm sorry,
Not paying for this. Oh, it's everything. Everything. Drones came out of DARPA, which came out of NASA. They had an unlimited budget. When they were told by the United States government that NASA was being closed down, so there wasn't going to be any money going to NASA, they neglected to tell people that all they did was change the name. Then they gave it an unlimited budget. There's all this money been going into DARPA. There wouldn't be drone technology if that hadn't happened, starting in the 60s, which means that the American people who've been paying taxes have paid for this. If you pay for something, all of a sudden it's being used for evil, we should say, we're not going to pay. We're going to stop right here, stop the money. But everybody's afraid.
Let me ask you a question then. If you're a dutiful, responsible citizen of the United States, you pay taxes, and your taxes are divvied up and a good portion of it goes to the military, and you're not, let's say you're a peaceful person and you really don't want to contribute to the war effort. You don't have any say in that. So, I mean, there's no way that we as citizens are going to be able to tell them to change that if they're not even listening and if we don't have a means to change it. Alan, do we have a means to change it only through Congress and they're not listening?
Well, we theoretically have the means to control this in an indirect way by, if we don't like the decisions our representatives are making, we elect other representatives. But that is a really weak and ineffective way for citizens to run things, because who wins elections are those who have the money or money behind them, and that means the people with money are going to cause to get elected the politicians they're going to support and further their own agendas. And what we see happening, it's really funny. I was discussing this in a homeschooling lesson with my son when we were looking at the words and work in a very superficial way, but of Karl Marx, who predicted that in the capitalistic system what you see is an increasing concentration of money, more and more money in the hands of fewer and fewer, and that's a fundamental problem with the capitalistic system, and he's absolutely right. And we've seen that at a real extreme. I'm not necessarily saying that communism is, I'm not saying that communism is the solution, but I agree absolutely that capitalism is fundamentally flawed. And we're a shining example of that today with this bizarre high concentration of wealth in this tiny, tiny percentage up at the top. And people talk about the 1%. That ain't nothing. You get down to the 10th or 100th of a percent and you see the graph so high at that end of the chart in terms of how much money is concentrated there, you can't even put it on one page. It's just bizarre, the incredible amount of wealth that's concentrated in a tiny percentage of people. And at the other end of the spectrum, how incredibly poor the people at the opposite end are. Now, we don't have any direct control over how our tax money is spent, but we have to pay our taxes or we risk being fined and getting into all kinds of trouble for not doing that. So it's a corrupt system. But it's even worse than that, because there are enormous numbers of dollars that are never even on the books, that are completely under the table. There is something on the order of trillions, with a T, trillions of dollars that are unaccounted for, which is why there's been this push to audit the Federal Reserve. We want to have those books opened up and find out, you know, where did all those trillions of missing dollars go? So it's a horribly corrupt system, and I wish there were some other way to do this, to fix it, than simply trying to raise awareness. But I'm going to be a little picky here with our caller, and I hope, please don't take offense. Take this as a sort of a generalized comment and not a personalized comment. But whenever somebody says to me, somebody ought to do something, my answer is, then do it, because we're not going to get anything done by sitting around waiting for somebody else to do it. So if you think somebody needs to start a movement to bring awareness on this issue, then start that movement. Be the person to do that. We are the people we've been waiting for. And if we don't grab the reins and do whatever it is that needs to be done, it's not going to happen. And what I'm talking about here is I'm not picking on you, our caller. What I'm saying is really a broader issue here, that there's a mentality that pervades our culture, maybe even our planet, but certainly our culture, where everybody else is supposed to fix things for us. Our government is supposed to take care of us. Well, in a perfect world, maybe they would, but in this world, they don't. And it's just not going to get the issues we're dealing with are not going to be fixed until enough of us assume responsibility in a proactive way to address the issues. And I would welcome somebody taking that issue on, putting up the website or the petition or whatever it is that somebody deems is the most effective way they can help to address the issue. It's not going to be any
Do a web search. Caller, do a web search. Make sure that somebody hasn't already started, that you can join their effort.
That's
Alan,
a great idea.
Awesome.
That's going to be a first step.
How about if we let the other caller in?
Yeah, we're going to switch
on
over here because we got just a couple minutes. Yeah. Caller, area code 702, are you with us?
Well, yes, I am this time. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. What can we do for you? Comment or question?
Chris, near Las Vegas, and to your point about the perhaps conversion of the aerial sprayings to more insidious purposes, I suggest that they're already being used partially in that fashion, although I think the ultimate aspect is they will likely proclaim some pretensive allegation that they had an accident and mixed up the barrels that were being introduced into the systems and accidentally incorporated more gallons or some other bacteriologic or virologic weapon of mass destruction engineered disease to be sprayed upon us. Although the metallics, nanometallic particulates that are being introduced, TMA, trimethyl aluminum, tungsten, barium, strontium, 90, cesium, arsenic, lead, mercury, that are in those chemtrails now, will likely be interfaceable with the smart appliances, smart meters, and cell towers that are being incorporated into the areas to precipitate more hazardous effects on multiple different layers, as this administration is prone to doing.
You know, I heard a real interesting...
It just happened by accident, right? It was just an accident.
Oops.
I heard an interesting theory recently. I have no information to back this up, but I think it's hypothetically plausible that the technology that people now increasingly have in their homes that allows them to have internet access has been, you know, you've got to have hardware in your home to do that, a modem or other pieces of hardware to set that up. They have been designed so that they built-in frequencies that can be triggered from central locations, maybe even from cell towers or other kinds of centrally located equipment to cause things. I'm going to be speaking vague here because I don't remember the details, but basically it was something about taking advantage of the technology that is now pervasive throughout our culture to use that against us, and that can be triggered. And, of course, to do that, you'd have to have somebody putting in some detrimental aspect technologically into an otherwise benign piece of technology. But so many things...
Don't be surprised. It's probably already there, and a lot of people are up in arms about the smart meters. It's probably already, you know, they devise these technological gadgets for all different reasons and all different applications, and it's probably already there.
I remembered another piece of this just a minute ago, a moment ago, Debbie, that they were using either vaccines or perhaps and or other ways of getting nanotechnology into our bodies, and then they were going to use the hardware in our homes to trigger that, to turn it on, so to speak.
Cause us
physical harm, and that sort of thing is probably technologically feasible. That's why the idea was scary.
If you can imagine it, Alan, I'm sorry. If you can imagine it, you know, like sci-fi, all of these things that were written years prior, and here it is, where it's actually reality. So if a human being can think of it, it can be.
If you don't mind, I prefer to call them techno-crazy concepts, and I really look forward to visiting the pandemicresponseproject.com. Your guest is very knowledgeable and competent. I appreciate you having him on, and thanks for letting me contribute.
Well, thanks
for joining us.
We appreciate your thoughts as well. Debbie, I think we've got to go ahead and go to break here and then turn the...
I just lost sound. I wonder why.
Well, I'm still here with you. I could observe this likely NSA tampering or electronic harassment by one of the information control technologies.
I think what happened is I muted myself just now, so maybe I wasn't even being heard as I was talking there. We've got to go to break. You're listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. with Vaccine Rights Attorney Alan Phillips and Homeopathy World Community Founder Debbie Brook. Debbie's going to come back for the last half hour and talk about the Trans-Pacific Partnership and fracking. This is something you don't want to miss, so stick around with this. But we're going to take just a couple of minutes here to run some ads here that tell you about some of the other shows available at other times on Freedomizer Radio. So pay attention to this, if you would, please. And there's lots of very interesting shows in Freedomizer Radio, so we're going to tell you about just some of them here.
There's something wrong. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind. The Matrix is everywhere. You have to see it for yourself. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth. You can see it when you look out your window, or when you turn on your television.
Join me, Austin Gorilla Thomas, Saturday nights, 6 to 7.30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 to 10.30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Unraveling the Matrix, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Hey, this is Liberty Lisa. You've reached the Truth Train.
And don't be intimidated by these cops.
Good luck arresting everyone. I mean, when they've got, you know, hundreds and thousands of protesters all wearing the mask, what are they going to do? Mass arrest? The Constitution is still the supreme law of the land.
They think just you have to be an American citizen to have rights. You have human rights.
Non-judicial foreclosures, where they're just taking people's homes without even giving them due process, that's wrong. It's corrupt. It's criminal. It's fraud. The cause is bigger than just me. The cause is for everyone.
The Truth Train with Liberty Lisa. Tuesday afternoons, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Join me, Valerie Ann, on the Truth Exposition Show at Freedomizer Radio in exposing the truth about FEMA camps, drone surveillance, martial law, the New World Order, our threatened freedoms and civil liberties, and for weekly news and current events. Mainstream media continues with its lies and deceit to fulfill the agenda of the New World Order. So please join me in exposing the truth, along with the lies and the deceptions that are being fed to the American people. The people of the United States have a voice, and your voice will be heard through Freedomizer Radio.
Well, we're back, and Debbie, I'm going to pass the baton over to you to finish out the our two-hour segment today. Looking forward to hearing about this. Debbie, you with us? Okay, sounds like we don't have Debbie with us. She may have taken a break and not be there or be having technical difficulty. Make sure I have my own mic on. Looks like it's on. Debbie, are you there? Okay, Debbie, you might want to try calling back in if you're there and I'm not hearing you. So let's see. I don't think I can get started on Debbie's topic for her, but I tell you what I'll do. I'll talk about another vaccine news item or two. Okay, I think Debbie's going to be calling back in, folks. So do stay with us. Let's see what we got here. I'll just mention a quick news item. There was lots of news about the swine flu vaccine since 2009, during that time and here, that correlations between swine flu vaccine and high increases in narcolepsy. First heard about that in Scandinavia and then in other countries around the world. And narcolepsy is a disease where you just sort of randomly fall asleep uncontrollably. Can happen any time and with some people many, many times a day. Well, now they've got $20,000 a year treatment. So isn't that convenient? They can sell us and profit from the vaccine that causes this, and without any liability for having caused it, they can now get paid for giving us the solution at $20,000 a year for the rest of your life. But I tell you, if you have narcolepsy, and there is something, even a pharmaceutical solution that is going to be helpful, I would say once you're in that situation, if you can get help, go for it. But it is just so disturbing that the same industry that's going to cause it and have no liability for it is going to turn around and not only profit from giving it to us, but now profit from treating it to the tune of $20,000 a year for the rest of your life. So I find that very, very disturbing. Are you back, Debbie? I see you back up on the switchboard here. I'm not hearing your voice. I wonder if there's a...
Hello?
Yes. All right, I hear you.
I don't know what's going on. Probably my headset was not working correctly. Okay, but
that may
I
be,
am
because I heard you.
Can you hear me okay?
Well, I hear you sort of cutting in and out a little bit, so that does suggest a possible short or loose connection or something somewhere. But I think I hear you fine now.
Let me try again with my headset. Can you hear me with my headset?
Yeah, that sounds fine.
Oh, I don't know what happened. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and talk about, I don't know, I missed whatever you said, but I'm going to be talking about the TPP on fracking, and I think that there is a hidden war going on behind our backs, because it's not as if we are marching soldiers that have swords and rifles and planes overhead. I mean, there are all of those things, but there's other kinds of war. There's a propaganda war. There's a bioterrorism war. There's changes in our laws that are going on behind our backs that we don't know about. People in boardrooms quietly making decisions that the people have not been informed about. So I'm going to start with a quote. If you're not going to use your free speech to criticize your own government, then what the hell is the point of having it? And that's a quote by Mitchell Templet. If we don't rebel, if we're not physically in an active rebellion, then it's spiritual death. That is a quote by Chris Hedges. And there are many people throughout history in literature, in artistry, that have spoken out about what is going on in our environment, being totally aware and awake and making decisions, just like our caller who said, you know, somebody has to do something about this. And I really do love the answer that you gave, Alan, that, well, if you feel that there's an issue that needs to be taken care of, then, and you know about it, then it's up to you to speak out and start a movement. Start telling people, or since we have the internet and we can write these petitions at the drop of a hat and the click of a button, well, there you go. We have the power to start something, to start a wave of awareness. So I'm going to be talking today about this issue, and also I have a little poem or song from Tom Lehrer that says, pollution, pollution, they got smog and sewage and mud. Turn on your tap and get hot and cold running crud. Pollution, pollution, you can use the latest toothpaste and then rinse your mouth with industrial waste. So go to the city, see the crazy people there, like lambs to the slaughter. They're drinking the water and breathing the air. And that refers a lot to the chemicals that are being infiltrated in our environment without our approval in a large sense. And we started the show talking about North Carolina allowing corporations to have a secret formula, proprietary information that is not disclosed to our congressional leaders, to our health and welfare boards, to our environmental governmental agencies, or to our citizens. Does this make any sense? I have no idea how much money was paid off in order for, or people thinking that, okay, North Carolina is going to be in the money if they allow fracking to provide this kind of energy source without looking really, really closely at the long-term and short-term problems that may be incurred, including, and I'm going to get to that, the answer to what happens when we frack. And a lot of people say, frack you and frack me, and we're all getting it, simply because, you know, there's a lot of songs and poetry and banners, because that's really what we're doing to ourselves, and you know how to change the letters around. So here's my letter. I'm going to be calling my representative first in terms of the TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement. Dear, and then I fill in, you can take this and use it. Dear, and put your senator, your House of Representatives, your congressional leader, and say, I'm calling to voice my opinion, an urgent request to vote no on TPP trade agreement. That is a breach of faith in your deeds representing the people, and I'm going to say of North Carolina because that's where I live, and you can fill in for yourself where it's going to be in your town. Then I'm going to continue. The TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership, would enable fracking, which will cause a disruption of the Earth's foundation, causing earthquakes, that's definite, contaminating homes and communities, using our vital water resources. And I'm going to give you a little bit of facts along the way regarding how much water is used in order to get some shale gas from there. Please invest in renewable, sustainable energy sources. And look, if we put in the amount of investment in money into renewable energy, if we had solar panels put on every person's home, we could run this state with no problem without contaminating our air, water, and land. Fast-tracking legislation removes, and that's what they're doing, by the way, if you didn't know it, they're fast-tracking it. Fast-tracking, fast-fracking. Whew. Legislation removes the power of Congress to review, to any deliberation, to debate the laws, and it removes due process of law or any checks and balances in what's going on in our government. We demand full committee hearing on the TPP action. And if you wanted to do, just call in to your representative and just say that one line, we demand full committee hearing on the TPP action. That's all they need to hear from you. A few people making unilateral decisions in closed rooms goes against all forms of democracy. Special rights for corporations will take precedent over the laws of the nation. This has already happened in North Carolina, enabling the shale gas companies to hide behind proprietary information. Isn't the safety and health of people and the environment more important than that we can examine what chemicals go into the earth and leak into our waterways and air? And, you know, this is why I'm talking about TPP instead of homeopathy, instead of health. Because if you look at all of this, the most important thing is environment, which affects health. And I'm going to get into that a little bit later if I have time. Obama reneged on his promise of full transparency. That's why the people really voted him into office, by his promises. The TPP also governs pollution laws, and labor rights. Why should populations pay corporations for loss of potential profits? This is inane and insane. The people, states, and countries are not obligated to fund corporations for the corporation's profit motives. Basically, TPP removes the property rights of individuals, communities, states, and countries. And so let's say one of the corporations wants to frack in Japan, and Japan says, no, we don't want you to. Then the company is going to sue the Japanese government for loss of profits. Does that make any sense whatsoever? And we're pushing this law into place, this treaty, this agreement. I don't agree. I'm putting my hand up. I don't agree. Furthermore, TPP will extend drug patent monopolies. This removes free trade among manufacturers and puts the power, control, and profit into the hands of a few. Didn't the U.S. fight to break up monopolies in order to promote fair competition for the benefit of consumers? The United States antitrust laws were enacted, starting with the Sherman Act in 1890, the Clayton Act in 1914, and the Federal Trade Commission Act also in 1914. These acts restrict the formation of cartels and prohibit other collusive practices regarded as being in restraint of trade. They restrict mergers and acquisitions of organizations, which could substantially lessen competition. They prohibit the creation of a monopoly and the abuse of monopoly power. Well, we're facing monopolies in the United States. We're facing corporate monopolies, and we're removing things like unions to have any power on citizens and workers' rights and ability to speak out and protect themselves. The TPP is so broad ranging that it will inhibit on an international scale the ability of governments to perform proper financial oversight and regulation of the banking industry and insurance companies, which was the cause of our recession, and the people have already bailed out those banks, and the public's responses with, what did they respond with? High Wall Street. And here we're giving it over again to the corporations to do whatever they want with finances. I wanted to put in here January 16, 2014, is our day today. And this day in history, in 2009, January 16, the Bank of America was rescued by the United States government with a $20 billion bailout and a guarantee for almost $100 billion of potential losses of toxic assets. It kind of is reminiscent, and it's a mirror of what we're looking at. Potential losses. Now, this is not a reality. They didn't lose anything. And the corporations are going to sue governments for potential losses. And why don't we juxtapose this against, in January 16, 2003, Sony announced that it has shipped over 50 million PlayStation 2 systems worldwide to date. So what are the people doing? They're playing. They're playing on their videos and their cell phones and their mobile devices and whatever. They're playing games and they're mindlessly not taking action in the real world of what's going on. So we need actually to divert the people's attention and not become zombies. I'm also going to put out another January 16th, 1997, and it's Cosby, the 29-year-old son of actor Bill Cosby, was killed by a gunman while changing a flat tire in Los Angeles, California. These are the kinds of activities that we're seeing across America day by day. Another announcement of someone in a school, in a middle school, in a high school, shooting up somebody else, people by the side of the road, people getting run over, all of these things going on, and we're just standing on the sidelines. We're not taking action to change what's going on in America. I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir, Freedomizer Radio, that's what you're all about, but if you can share this information with one friend, with one stranger, with a neighbor, with somebody, to let them know that we need to come together on a lot of issues. And on January 16th, 1994, in Pennsylvania, a magnitude 4.6 earthquake occurs. It's felt throughout southeastern Pennsylvania and as far as Baltimore, Maryland, and New York City. It was also felt in Toronto, Canada. You know, fracking causes earthquakes. And I'm going to tell a little story about fracking in Pennsylvania, the history of shale gas drilling. I will refer you. Go to thehuffingtonpost.com, and there is the story, Pennsylvania Fracking, a History of Shale Gas Drilling, as told by the people who live there. These are the people on the ground, people who have experienced it, people who have without full knowledge, and this is something we're going to hear repeatedly, without full disclosure knowledge about what they're signing, people lease their land to a gas company thinking that they're going to gain some money. This one family in 2007 leased their land for $100 an acre. Where did it get them? It destroyed their home. It destroyed their property. Just for a few dollars. I mean, it might add up to a lot of dollars, but they destroyed the property. What about the water use? I mentioned this earlier. Approximately 4.3 million gallons of fluid are injected per fractured well in Pennsylvania. This comes out to 3.2 to 4.3 gallons of water per 1,000 cubic feet of gas. We know today water is valuable. Our water is contaminated by so many different chemical spills and actually hidden dumping from industrial waste and all the different things that are contaminating from radiation dropping down from the atmosphere and all sorts of things. So our water is really precious. We can't survive without water, and yet we're going to use it to drill and get some energy source when we should be investing in renewable energy from the sun, from the wind, and other kinds of things that are available with today's technology. What are the risks if you go back and look at spills or intentional dumping or explosions? On January 5th, 2010, ProPublic reported that Pennsylvania was dumping hundreds of millions of gallons of wastewater utilized into extracting natural gas in the Marcellus Shale into streams across the state. Now, I tell you, these kinds of things are going on in all the states where fracking is happening. So they say, frack you. They don't care, because if they cared, they would be caring more about the people who are living in these areas. And you can look it up about the chlorine and the triethylmethanes and all the other cancer-causing chemicals that are being put into the water table by leaks of these
industries. ExxonMobil, in September 2013, Pennsylvania's Attorney General filed criminal charges against ExxonMobil for illegally dumping tens of thousands of gallons of hydraulic fracturing waste at a drilling site. You know, so, I mean, these are monopolies that have their big industry, big business. They can pay off. They can afford to pay criminal charges in the same way that the vaccine industry can afford to pay, or the drug industry can pay billions of dollars in criminal activity and continue on with what they do. Ambiguity over violations. According to CNN Money, fracking companies might be violating drilling rules, but affected landowners may not know it, quote, because the state agency charged with regulating the wells, the Department of Environmental Protection, DEP, does not have to notify landowners if a violation is discovered. Even if landowners inquire about safety violations, DEP records are often too technical for the average person and they're incomplete, unquote. If landowners do want to find out about violations on their property, such as subpar cementing that can lead to flammable drinking water, they have to schedule a meeting with the DEP and request the violation records in person. So, you know, there's a lot of information that we're not getting. There are laws that are protecting us from not getting this information. This is why we must speak out and we must gather together. Here are the Chesapeake Energy. Weeks after a peer-reviewed Duke University study called Methane Contamination of Drinking Water Accompanying Gas Well Drilling and Hydraulic Fracturing found, quote, systemic evidence for methane contamination of drinking water associated with shale gas extraction at 60 sites in New York and Pennsylvania. The Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection fined the Chesapeake Energy $1.1 million, the largest fine against an oil and gas operator in the agency's history, for contaminating 17 shale gas drilling wells in Bradford County, including some that had been part of the Duke study. In June 2012, the Chesapeake Energy settled a lawsuit filed by three families in Bradford County over the water contamination, paying $1 million. And this is just a tidbit. This is just the tip of the iceberg. This is just a little bit of what is going on. And as I want to say again and again, health, and that's my passion, health and self-empowerment and use of homeopathics and use of chelation and diet and nutrition, if our water is contaminated and our plants and our harvests are being contaminated by these chemicals, then we're eating it in our diet, we're drinking it in our water, we're breathing it in our air. And that's why I think TPP trumps me talking about homeopathy today or stress reduction today. Basically, why the environment issues are so important. It is intertwined inextricably with health issues. Just as each person needs a holistic approach, because our hands and our feet and our brain and our lungs, they're all interdependent. The family and the community are part of one great whole. When any one individual is out of order or has a dysfunction or a sickness, that will affect the whole of the population on the planet. Now, to realize that the DNA, or the potential for our pre-planned potential for health and disease, relies more upon the environment, including the environment of a loving family and loving relationships, rewarding work, depending upon our diet. All of these things play a part in total wellness. Why do I state that? I state that because I just read a little notice on Nutrition and Cancer, this journal, that says T genes that increase the chances of cancer can be, quote, overridden by diet and environmental changes. That's what the scientists say. If this is true, it means that your DNA doesn't have to be a death sentence, nor do you need to have a just-in-case mastectomy like Angelina Jolie.
you know, there are people who are taking protective measures, safety measures, that are cutting off their limbs, their hands, their boobs, whatever they're doing, because they are living in a state of fear. So it is not our genes that we have predisposition towards certain illnesses, towards sensitivities, towards all kinds of the work that we go into, towards what we love to do, our passions. We have DNA that gives us a propensity towards something, a desire towards something, but it is not the be-all and end-all. Our environment can trigger those genes on and off. Faulty genes such as the BRCA dramatically increase the chance of breast, ovarian, and prostate cancer in particular. And women who have inherited the genes are sometimes encouraged to have a double mastectomy. People are telling people to cut off a part of their body. This was a choice, right? It is a choice that you have to make when you are given information that might frighten you. But research, oh, I'm out of time. Let me finish up. The researchers at the Institute for Medical Research in Belgrade, Serbia, say that genetics is trumped by epigenetics, which involves outside influences that can rewrite the DNA coding. The single most important influence is diet, especially bioactive foods, and the environment that play the most important part. So I encourage you, because I only have a moment left in today's show, I encourage you with all of my heart to go and to Homeopathy World Community and click on, I'm going to put on the front page a banner to the TPP, and read all about it, watch the videos, learn how you can take action. There is a petition. There are ways that you can contact your legislators. And I want to thank you so, so much for tuning in today.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
You know the Constitution like the back of...
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Dissent is somewhat ineffective in actually...
Hello?
Hello, it's Crawford here.
Who's calling?
Okay, hi. This is the other call. I have a half of the rest of the
show and tell, help drive the news, influence the news. I'm not having a debate with meeting someone like that, too, especially if you're, if I disagree with you. Yes. So, join us at freedomizerradio.com and log into the chat room.